for other people later. Wait. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Are we doing this?
Nobody cares, actually. It's episode 289. Eric and Ken, it is Way of the Warrior. Lots to do, as we have every week, since there's six events a week that we have to cover. So
And eight Ronda Rousey stories a week, too.
And eight Ronda Rousey stories. So we got to get into all of it right now. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. UFC 191 is this weekend. Demetrius Johnson, John Dodson. It's very hard to put together, especially when
you call him Mighty Mouse.
Yes, Mighty Mouse.
They all want us to buy in on that thing, so let's just do it.
Mighty Mouse and John Dodson are going to headline that pay-per-view, which we will talk about ad nauseum this afternoon.
You mean Mir Arlovsky?
Mir Arlovsky, to me, is the most interesting fight on this card, in so much as if you've been watching this sport for a while, this is a 10-year fight in the making, because Mir and Arlovsky were supposed to fight prior to Mir's motorcycle accident. And then Arlovsky became the champion by proxy because Mir was gone and then went on the tear that he went on, and then kind of, you know, the rest
of
it.
Well, it's taken a long time, too, and some people still say he's not there, but it's taken a long time for Frank Mir to basically recover from that accident. It took him years of fighting basically to get back into the shape, because I remember Frank Mir was one of the first dudes that I watched in the cage as a heavyweight, and I was just blown away by how legit he was on the ground. Now, this was before I started watching some of the Pride fights. Obviously, they had some legit heavyweights on the ground, but I mean, as far as mass-consumed UFC, here's this dude. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and he's 250 pounds.
Right, right.
And man, he was impressive at that time, and I think we were all salivating for that fight. I think shortly after that, the UFC's no motorcycle rule unless we give you the motorcycle went into effect.
Yes, and even then, they don't want you to ride it. You could just,
right,
you
just look. It's a showpiece from Harley Davidson.
Yes, you can have it as a trophy in your living room. So that is happening, and a very interesting fight, because as we talked about a little bit last week, there's a lot happening in this fight, aside from it being 10 years in the making and was going to be a championship fight at the time it was being made. Now it's the person who wins this fight seemingly is up for a title shot, specifically if Andre wins. Mir has already said he feels he needs one more to be there, but if he
look at who we're talking about. This is pretty amazing at this point. We're
talking
about
actually
Andre Arlovsky and Frank Mir in the UFC title hunt. And I think we're seeing some of that, not because the UFC's heavyweight division is weak. It's because it is so top heavy. It's very strong, but it's very top heavy. And in order for us to kind of maneuver new fights in there, you've got to kind of look in that 4, 5, 6, 7 spot, which I don't think is unreasonable considering most of those guys in that 1, 2, 3 spot have all fought each other a couple times at this point.
Well, and then you have, crazy weird matchups, not weird, but matchups that have really no implications. Things like Overeem and JDS, which if JDS wins, we're back into this, like, where do you put him? Is he in a title contention? Then Josh Barnett is seemingly without a dance partner that I'm aware of, who just sits at 5 consistently without actually fighting in the UFC.
Just fights in New Japan, and I think those really help him hold up those rankings.
It is top heavy, and then there's just this weird demarcation of Josh Barnett, who may or may not fight once a year. And then you've got Mir below that and Arlovsky above that.
Is Brown past his those issues with his wife and maybe banging Ronda Rousey and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, that part is supposition, but you can supposition.
Well, allegedly, Ronda Rousey. All I'm saying is if she doesn't want somebody to bang her, she's not going to let that happen.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
That is a very fair statement.
So if he's banging her, it's consensual is what we're saying.
All right, then.
Allegedly.
That said...
No, not the consensual part.
All jokes aside, the UFC external report, which feels like I'm going to say a punchline of some sort, the UFC official outside report came back inconclusive.
Inconclusive. Okay.
I don't know what that means, because it feels to me like domestic violence seems like it's pretty, like... Especially if it's physical, seems like it either did or didn't happen. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, we've got a tough spot here because nobody wants to belittle any type of domestic violence issue or anything that may have happened. You also have to actually have some proof and make sure somebody's telling the truth before you essentially destroy somebody's life.
Sure.
Like an accusation like this can happen. from what I've seen, and maybe somebody can send me something different, and I'll be honest, I haven't dug too deep into this, but all we really have are some ex-wife accusations at this point, correct?
That is all I have seen, yes.
Right. So again, I'm not trying to dismiss her accusations or belittle the fact that if there was domestic violence happening, that is something not important, but I think you also have to be very cognizant in these situations to make sure that, you know, we have some type of proof. That the UFC does an outside investigation and it comes back inconclusive is not surprising to me because, you know, you can't necessarily declare that dude innocent because that's something that's never going to happen because you never know what else could come out.
Sure.
But you don't want to paint the guy guilty if you don't have that evidence, and that's kind of where we're landing right now. Where we're landing, though, is Travis Brown is still a top five fighter. He was a guy that was on a marketable ride. And here's something I'm going to say. If he's actually dating Ronda Rousey, that ups his marketability.
Sure.
I mean, how many fights did Cyborg Santos's husband get in Strikeforce and Elite XC because of who he was married to?
For sure.
I mean, if you start calling Travis Brown, you know, the biggest fighter on the planet's boyfriend, you know, people are going to start paying attention that don't know who he is yet.
Poor Brendan Schaub's going to be like, well, why didn't I do that? I didn't tell anyone I was dating her. That was stupid. I should have took out a poster.
But you definitely can't do that, and she doesn't want that to be something that's known. Again, this is all alleged, but, I mean, we're hearing this somewhat from his wife and somewhat from other people in the industry. So you've got to be really careful here with Travis Brown. You don't want to necessarily declare him guilty because that just ruins the dude's life and you don't have the proof. But you can't necessarily say he's 100% clean if you don't know that. So you end up in this weird quagmire where you've got one of your top five fighters in the world that, okay, dude, you're not really suspended, but you're not booked. And we don't want you to wear the shirts anywhere you go.
Right.
That's kind of where we are right now with Travis Brown. And if he's innocent, this sucks for him. If he's guilty, it's more than deserved. That's kind of the situation we're in right now.
And so what's interesting about this, and I promise we'll get to Mighty Mouse and Dodson here in a second, but, you know, this is just kind of the evolution of this conversation. What's interesting is as I was prepping for today, as I'm writing Rumble Johnson's name on here, I'm like, he's taking on Jimmy Manoa. It's a really interesting fight on paper, but in light of his past and this thing with the Facebook thing, I'm not excited about it, and I don't know that he's not a guy that I want to root for.
So he's done with rehab or therapy or whatever he's doing.
But I mean, it's interesting how much of an effect that has had on me that the thing that pushed me over the edge, and again, right or wrong, was the overt bullying of this person in the gym that you had to put on Facebook when I really had no prior knowledge to it coming out, the other two instances of actual domestic violence, mm-hmm. right? Like now I'm like, I don't even...
Who do you want to root for here? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the logic button says that he is a destructive force at 205 and will dispatch Jimmy Manoa, but the fan side of me is like, I don't want you to do that because I really don't feel like you're good for the sport.
Like you don't want to deal with these things.
Well, because it's going to come up. And what happens if you get Rumble Johnson and John Jones on a headline card at that mm-hmm. point? Like, which one of them goes to jail first?
Well, I think that's where you go like old school Pride announcing the fight like the Wednesday before Saturday. And like, this is going to be our title fight because we got them both to 3 days before and now we've got them secluded
in the hotel room and they can't do anything stupid. So
yeah, I don't know what you do here. Again, this is tough because you've got these situations with these fighters. And the UFC's got to be cognizant of them. And this is something even 2, 3, 4 years ago where the UFC really probably didn't have to deal with it. I'm not saying whether or not it was right or wrong, but just a fact of business. It wasn't in the consciousness the way it is now. And it wasn't something that people looked at all the time. I mean, you know, I think 3, 4, 5 years ago in the NFL, and you're seeing it kind of come to light now. You had a lot of guys with issues with their wives, with their girlfriends.
Sure.
With encounters that are similar to Rumble Johnson's here. And they were basically overlooked. Like, hey, man, quit screwing around, quit doing that stuff, and get back on the team. And that's basically the way the UFC could have gone about it. But, I mean, you've seen the outcry. You've seen the righteousness of pointing out that the fact is that these things are not acceptable in any form. And the UFC's got to deal with that. Of course, they should be dealing with it, but it makes it tough in a business like the NFL or like UFC where you've got big, strong dudes that are paid to be aggressive. There's got to be something in a subset of some of those dudes that just isn't right, just like there is in normal society. So they've got to deal with that. And when they have to deal with that, it's coming at the cost of business, quote unquote, to them. Not that it shouldn't, But you've got a situation here where we want to see Rumble Johnson before we hear about all this stuff. Hey, get back on the winning track. I'd really like to see you maybe fight Daniel Cormier again, a little more under your belt. Maybe fight John Jones in the future. Maybe fight Gustafsson. You know, he's a big fight, light heavyweight guy, which for a long time has been the money division in the UFC.
Sure.
And basically, like you said, you know, logically, you just want to you want him to lose here, and we're done with him. We don't have to think about him for a while.
Well, I just think you just the humanity in me, and this is the part of the sport. I saw it this weekend when I was on Facebook talking about how I thought some of the ADCC matches were really interesting, specifically with Ben Henderson, excuse me, getting shellacked in both of his matches. I always find that stuff interesting, you know, because you think Ben Henderson, champ at 155, right, like all of these mm-hmm. accolades, and they go to this thing that happens once every 2 years, and they just get annihilated by a guy that you've never heard of, right? And mm-hmm. which shows to me the depth of martial arts as a giant umbrella under which the UFC and karate and kempo and all that right. stuff lays, that there are people out there that are doing amazing things that most of the general public doesn't even get to know about. Point being, when I put it up there, the very first comment was from some guy that's like, hey man, I really like what you post. I don't understand this. This is just two guys trying to murder each other in a ring. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't understand the nuance, and that's fine. He doesn't have to. But you've got that perception out there, and these guys only perpetuate it. And even Travis Brown, like you said, if this isn't true, this is a terrible thing to do to another human being because it's hard to walk back from.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And I don't know what do you do in this situation?
Let me cut you off. If he did it, it's terrible to do to another human being, and he gets everything he deserves. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say here.
And that's the thing. What do you do with a guy like Anthony Johnson where you see this? Again, it was a Facebook post, and we don't know what happened with the confrontation. We know there was one. That's all we know. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't want to be judged in some of my worst moments, and that could have been a bad moment for him. But you have to recognize those moments, too. I've had terrible moments where I don't want people to have to think, oh, that's that guy, because that we all have those moments. We don't want to be judged on our worst moment, and we don't know. Maybe Anthony Johnson's got a couple of bad moments there, and he's got to rethink and reevaluate what he does. But it's certainly something when you hear about this and hear that there may have been issues in the past where we're all going, really, again? Really,
well,
again,
that's
we're
what
talking
I'm
about
saying.
This?
Like,
and that's what, and this goes back to what we said about Travis Brown. I think that's why UFC's trying to be really careful here. Like, we can't necessarily let you fight right now, but we don't want to necessarily drag your name through the mud because we don't know. We don't know what those pictures were your wife posted. I mean, you know, it's Instagram. I know people are like, oh, she posted. I don't know what that is. Go to, you know, and this is what I hope will happen about all this talk with domestic violence and all of this attention that we're paying to it. Anybody, female or male, let's remember there's victims on both sides.
Absolutely.
Men or women, if something's happening to you, go to the police. You don't go to Instagram. You know why? Because then we don't know what's going on. Not that we deserve to know what's going on, but you deserve to have your case heard properly. That you deserve to have it known by the police and judges and other people in your family and friends of that person. You know, you have to do that in a certain way too in order for us to kind of react properly. And you know, if you're listening and you're a victim, you know, do that. Make sure you speak out. Make sure you tell somebody what's happening. But Instagram's not the way to go.
But I wonder if that reaction, though, Ken, comes directly from the War Machine Christy Mack case, in which that she did that, which expedited all of the stuff that then happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying she was right in that, but if I'm a woman I see that she did that, and then the result was he went to jail and likely will never get out, I might think that that's an easy way to get out.
And I
should say.
Right. And I'm not saying that's not true, but what you had with Travis Brown's ex-wife, I don't even know where she is at this point, if they're still in the process of divorcing or not. What you had there is her basically putting that on Instagram, putting the guy on blast, and
sure.
then not ever following up. Do you want to press charges? No, I just want to put that on Instagram. That's where I look at it and become suspicious, and I feel bad that I'm that way sometimes, but I mean, how else can you really react when somebody just does that? That's all she did. She didn't want to follow up. She didn't want to press charges. I just have trouble then considering that proof.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, and that ties into I'm trying to rectify my feelings about Rumble this weekend, right? Like you said, it might have just been a terrible moment, but because of the prior history, I have a hard time that not being the incendiary thing in my mind that's like, look, dude, you're a talented fighter who does some amazing things. I understand the demarcation between what you do for a living is violence against other human beings and how that might be difficult for people to turn off in
some
real life.
Some people. Not even the majority of fighters,
no,
but probably
some
fighters and some people.
On the main card, I think, are two of the most brilliant human beings in the organization, being Dodson and Mighty Mouse, which I don't know that would ever, knock on wood, right? I don't know that would ever be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Weidman, same thing, right? Rhonda, same. You know, there's just as many people on the other side of the fence we could point at. My point being, I was fascinated about my own reaction to this as I'm writing this down, going, I don't want you to win at all.
And that's
even
that's
though I know that you likely will.
And what's interesting about it is on a card like this, and joking aside, Mighty Mouse isn't going to sell this card. So what you had on this card was one of your big light heavyweight draws who just fought for the championship.
Sure.
Who's beaten a lot of other dudes in the division. And you have this Mir Arlovski fight to help sell it. Well, half of that, I mean, you know, I got tricked into buying it. But I'm not really that interested in buying a Rumble Johnson fight right now. I'll watch and see what happens. But, you know, as far as my dollars go, that's not helping the purchase decision.
So let's get to the main event, which, like Ken alluded to, he's had some trouble selling pay-per-views. And I think, unfortunately for him, in light of the month that they've had, he's going to be the shining outlier of things not kind of coagulating.
Well, you know, that when we're averaging 200 to 300 and you've had a couple that were close to a million, you got to have somebody come in at like 100,000 to even that out.
But what is always so interesting is you inadvertently get into this discussion, which he has said he is done having, about you know, the unseasoned or uncultured MMA fan who can't appreciate what it is that he does. And I guess I look at this two ways. One, I think that Mighty Mouse is probably one of, if not the best martial artist, fighter, competitor in the UFC right now, pound for pound. And I think if he wins on Saturday night, that only cements that discussion. Two, I enjoy what these guys do, specifically these two, because I think Dodson certainly has a puncher's chance all five rounds of ending this thing. I like the speed. I like the technique. I like the varied technique that you don't see, perhaps, in Mir Arlovski. That's not that I'm saying I'm not going to enjoy that fight, but there are things about this division and 135 and 145 that I enjoy a little bit more than the other ones because of the speed and the technique that they're using. That said, part of that enjoyment is it's my job to enjoy these things. I don't care, and it is your right if you think these fights are dumb. That's absolutely your right. If you
Did you say dumb or dull?
Dumb, dull, any of those things. Whatever your response...
I don't think they're dumb.
I'm not saying you
do. They might be a little dull, depending on how you want to look at the situation.
But my point is, whatever your judgment of them is, that's the point of the sport. There's something about the sport that gravitates you towards buying it or not buying it. On again, off again.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like Demetrius Johnson, if you don't like John Dodson, you can still be a UFC fan, regardless of what you're going to see in the press this week.
Or what Dana White screams at us afterwards.
Or what he screams at you. This is not... Not all of this stuff has to be for everyone. You're going to see a fair amount of people with the 115 weight class with Johanna Jędrzejczyk that just won't be into it because she's not Ronda Rousey.
No.
That doesn't mean they're not UFC fans. There are people that aren't into female MMA that won't like Ronda Rousey. There's six of them, probably, that don't like Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make those people not UFC fans.
Three of them have the last name Santos.
Yes. So, yeah. The Santos family is certainly high in the six-person count of people that don't like Ronda Rousey. But my point is, I always find it interesting. I think it's fun that he said he's done with this conversation. But I also find it interesting that we're even having the conversation. Because the product is the product. And the product will tell you, the market, I should say, will tell you what the product should or shouldn't be. And you're 1,000% right. If you don't need to do 12 or 13 or 14 million buy pay-per-views a year, and this is fine, and you sell the gate, who cares who buys the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm glad he says he's done with the conversation, because I think we can all be done with the conversation. We know there's a championship fight. I mean, we were kind of talking about this at the tail end of Benson Henderson's title run.
Sure.
It was getting to the point where, yeah, you know what? Put him on Fox. That's good. I'm a little surprised they did this one on pay-per-view. They were probably obviously hoping Rumble Johnson could carry a little more when they put the card together the way it came out. Arlovski, Mir, I know there was a lot of talk of DC being on this card initially as well. So, you know, this fight is what it is. I can't be pissed about it because, you know what? I know what I'm getting at this point. Now, if you want to try to convince me otherwise and have a discussion about it, yeah, I'll tell you the reasons why. But I'm glad that Mighty Mouse has passed the discussion, because maybe that'll be something he doesn't think about anymore. Because there's nothing worse than a fighter in his own head sometimes, and maybe trying to finish a fight instead of implementing his game plan. And I think Mighty Mouse is so good, we might have seen some of that on occasion, where he went in there and wanted to finish a fight and do something. He's just so good at it that it just his will and his skill and his game plan would overwhelm a guy anyways. Because, you know, most fighters will say, when you stop thinking and just let everything take over and you react and you let the training. By not thinking, I mean, you've already trained to think in the gym. You've already got your thought process done. You're reacting with deliberate intention, which I think is different in fighting than actually trying to think about fighting. So you're reacting with deliberate intention. When you're doing that and you're not inside your own head, that's when you can see some of the best results you'll ever have in your career. Maybe we've gotten to that point. Maybe you're going to text me, or I don't know, are you coming over to, I'm going to trick you into paying for it like UFC did. Like, I'm going to invite a bunch of people over, tell them afterwards I got to pay for
it. It's my wedding anniversary, so let me see how that works out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
all right.
So.
Bring a wife.
I'm sure she would love that.
Ladies like tiny fighters.
Ladies love tiny fighters.
Bring her
ladies
over. So you can watch the fight. Maybe you'll text me at 2 in the morning and go, see, I told you finally, and maybe it's a first-round KO, and I'll be amazed. And I'm interested to watch, but don't try to tell me I'm a jerk or an a-hole, Dana White, because I'm not necessarily throwing $60 at you for this.
Well, and I think part of that comes from the co-main event mentality, right? We're going to get two giant dudes in there, mm-hmm. one of whom who has spent all of the time falling back in love with his wrestling. I'm sorry, not wrestling, boxing, and that being Frank Mir, you know, that likely are going to stand in the middle of the octagon and throw bombs at each other, which is what most people want to see out of this sport, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see a first-round knockout. They want to see, as terrible as I thought he looked in the Todd Duffy fight, that's what they want to see. Two dudes throwing bombs till one of them falls on the canvas.
Yeah, and maybe that's all we need. This is a nice, balanced UFC card. It's a nice, balanced UFC card. And a lot of times we've seen Mighty Mouse. He's been on Fox. So we'll get one or two fights, and then Mighty Mouse. And there's not a lot of room to really fill those cards up sometimes.
Sure, but I mean, it's Labor Day weekend. I just think it's going to be, for my pay-per-view selling wise, unless the weather goes south all weekend, I think this is a tough sell.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be a tough sell to begin with.
Right.
And the other
thing,
too.
A tough sell in January.
That DC thing might have been, maybe he can make this card, but maybe we don't need to make him make this card.
Sure.
We can make more money if he's sitting, I believe he's in October now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We can make more money on DC if he's in a clear weekend, so to speak.
For sure. All right. We're going to take a quick break because we've got a whole bunch of news to talk about, including Fedor has signed, sort of, kind of.
And we'll, I believe it.
You do.
I do.
Makes one of us.
We'll talk about it.
All right. It's next on Way of the Warrior. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, UFC 191 this weekend. We've been talking about it, and now it's time to break down some of the crazier news of the week, and we have to start, obviously, with the Last Emperor being Fedor, and the rumors of him signing to the UFC. Now, the UFC has said have said nothing, really.
I'll tell you what they said.
Sure.
They said they have nothing to report. They haven't said no. They've said they have nothing to report, which sounds to me like the fact that maybe Combat Press got this one right and Fedor's actually signed and they just want it to be on their timeline when they announce it.
And Fedor's manager has kind of echoed the same thing and said he has not signed anything anywhere yet. But as all indications are pointing towards, there was really no other place for him to sign. He was going to end up in the UFC. And now you get into that fevered debate about what happens next. Who does he face first? Is it a title shot right out of the gate? And I know you had mentioned a name before we started. Do you think that name is the name, or is it a title shot? What do you do with this guy?
Well, I mean, there was talk about putting him, what is that, in Australia, where they're having that stadium card?
Yes.
There was talk about trying to get him for that, and
that's
maybe
the one with Ronda on it now.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's a great idea to get that one, get him on there, because let's remember, as much as we've wanted to see Fedor in the UFC, he's still a bit of an unknown quantity to your mass MMA fan. What better way than to put the Last Emperor on a card with your biggest star at this point and have him fight Mark Hunt? And do that Pride-style matchup. Now, Mark Hunt's already on the card. He's virtually guaranteed anytime you kind of go down to New Zealand or Australia.
He's already at the arena now.
Well, he's already got a fight booked. I actually forget who he's fighting now.
He's just waiting.
No, he's not. He's not waiting. He's already got a fight booked, which could obviously easily change to Fedor at this point.
It's Nelson, isn't it?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think it's Nelson. I might be wrong.
It's a sequel fight. I remember that.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that then. But in this case, I think that would be genius if they're able to announce that. Maybe they announce that this weekend at the pay-per-view. Because, I mean, the timing works out, too. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, man, I'm not this is just another internet rumor. Well, I mean, timing works out. If you're going to sign the guy and then want to announce this weekend as part of your pay-per-view.
It's Bigfoot.
He's fighting Bigfoot. So, I mean, that's an easy fight to swap out at this point. You can put Fedor in that fight against Mark Hunt and give Bigfoot another fight.
Or you could put Fedor in against Bigfoot and see.
I don't think you do that. I think you go ahead and let Mark Hunt try to be the one there to be your sacrificial lamb. That he's going to be sacrificial lamb. I mean,
think of all the promo videos of Bigfoot knocking out Fedor and Dan Henderson knocking out Fedor. And mm-hmm. Right, like, think of all the things you could be doing.
I think we go dig up that Pride footage we spent some money on, and we show that that he used to be the last emperor, and he's coming back to fight Mark Hunt. I don't think a championship fight is in the cards, whoever the champ is at this point.
Well, I mean, he's only 26 years old.
Right, with 23 years of experience at 26. So I don't have a problem with that Mark Hunt fight if that's what you're going to do. It'll be interesting to kind of see what happens here.
I want to pick your MMA brain, though. Like, you get Fedor. How many fights do you think you're getting out of Fedor?
I don't know, but I don't have a problem. I think you got to give him something like Mark Hunt to start. Maybe you jump right in next time. Maybe you try to do that Hendo thing. Maybe you try to mend the fences with Couture. I don't think that's going to happen. But again, I was wrong about Tito years ago. Maybe they can mend the fences for that one fight. That's your A1 make some money fight. Captain America versus the Last Emperor, a fight we probably wanted to see 10 years ago. But
sure.
At least we're going to get it. You know, it's got a little bit
you're
of
not going to get the other one that was talked about was Brock, and you're not going to get Brock.
No, you're not going to get Brock at this point. And I don't think if you're Fedor, you want any of Brock. And I know that's really going to piss some people off listening right now.
I
think Brock is just the dude that's just the way we saw Fedor kind of go out at the end of his career at this point. Brock's the kind of dude that can just eat him alive. Now, Fedor can land some big hits and take Brock out, too. I think it's more even than anybody who is a big fan of Fedor would want to ever give it credit for.
But let's not forget, like, Fedor is 3 years younger than me, which I always think is remarkable because he looks like he's 60. I just think it's been, you know, those years in Pride, for as dominant as he was, I think took a toll on him, and which is why when he came over, he wasn't really... I mean, even against Brett Rogers, he didn't look awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he didn't. I mean,
and that's Brett Rogers, who there's probably half the people listening to the podcast are like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, and that's one of those things, too, where you look at this and you wonder, because, I mean, you've got fantasy booking, then you've got a realistic thing that you're talking about here, which is the number of fights you're actually going to be able to get out of the dude. How long before Vadim and his management all freak out and get mad that UFC doesn't sell them Fight Pass or something? I don't know.
Well, and I think the answer to that number, my gut reaction would say three.
Three fights.
You get three.
So if you get three, you've got to try to get him in against at least a name guy, and that's Mark Hunt, and try to get him some time back in the cage. Mark Hunt's a dude I think is good for this fight, maybe a little too good. Because I feel like if you want to get three out of him, you should try to set him up for a win to start.
Mark Hunt's a guy that you seemingly have to murder there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's not a guy, he's not going down easy. And I'm not, look, this is going to be no disrespect to the person I'm about to say, but, like, Brendan Schaub comes to mind of, like, somebody I would put against Fedor.
Hmm. I can see that, too.
Because if you want to get him in there and get his feet wet, I'm with you that you still need to build some brand recognition, and what happens to your investment? And let's not beat around the bush here, right? Like, these are investments in human beings that you expect to perform in a certain caliber. Mm-hmm. If your investment shows up in Australia and gets KO'd in 11 seconds by Mark Hunt, then what?
Yeah, you're in some trouble. And I don't know how you work around that, though, with this guy.
I don't
either,
but
you've got to, because whatever ends up happening or whatever they sign him for, you've got to get some money back from that. And getting him on Ronda's card is a good way to kind of do that. You can get him in front of people and then sell that next fight.
Are you getting the money back, though? Because they're going to buy Ronda anyway. You could put Ronda with eight minions fighting, literally minions.
You're not going to sell a Fedor card.
No.
I'm sorry. I hate to be that guy that's going to burst the bubble of every super Pride fan from 2002, but you are not going to... The guy doesn't sell pay-per-views. If he sold pay-per-views, if he sold tickets by himself, a lot of businesses would still be in business at this point. Affliction would still be in business. Elite XC would be in business. Strike Force would be in business. You've got to be realistic. Okay, we're going to make an investment, which is probably going to be substantial. And I will say this. I would be surprised if it wasn't overpriced for what he'll actually get them. So like you said, you've got an investment. You've got to get the money back. You've got to get him in front of a ton of people first. Best way to do that's on a Ronda Rousey card. Get him on it. He's got to be on a big card with somebody. And then you put him in the name fight. You put him in the fight against Dan Henderson. You put him in the fight against Randy Couture if you can get it done. I think those are your fights. Anybody who's saying he should be anywhere near the title is insane at this point. I really do. I mean,
Matthews
on our Facebook page says, let him get a couple warm-up fights. I think all you've got, Eric, is a couple fights.
You only got, I'm telling you right now, you have three.
At best.
He's 38 years old, guys. There is, look, make no mistake about it. There's only one Dan Henderson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of all of these guys that are over 40, there is only one of them that's still actually winning fights. And his name is Dan Henderson.
And he's a guy that you said, even though he's winning some fights, you don't necessarily
want
to watch
go,
him anymore.
I want him to go away because I just think it's safer for his brain. But Randy Couture isn't fighting anymore. Right?
And let's remember, Randy Couture was amazing on that alkaline diet for his age
totally.
10 years ago.
Totally.
So, I mean, that means, what's Randy's probably 52 now?
He's at least 48.
Something like that. So, I mean, this... And
that makes it
when,
a little bit more competitive. Like you can, if you're emailing me right now to tell me about Ken Shamrock, I'm going to tell you to STFU because like that he is not performing at any sort of actual
that's
level.
That's a great idea.
He's in yeah. Oh,
that's a great
Ken
idea.
Ken Shamrock Fedor is a fantastic idea.
Whoever's emailing Eric but, that Twitter friend me.
But Ken Shamrock as a apt competitor at his age is not that's not a discussion we can even have.
Yeah, Randy's 52.
52. Got
so,
it.
So I mean, like you said, that would be a reasonable matchup at this point.
I think it's well, and one that you could get people to tune into.
Oh, I think you could too. I mean, Randy's a proven pay-per-view
draw. I mean, dear God,
you
got people to watch Ken Shamrock and Kimbo, so people are ready for this sort of insanity.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the guy who broke that news is the one who broke this Fedor news. So don't forget that.
Same guy?
Yeah, same guy is the one that knew about the Kimbo Bellator deal. And everybody said he was stupid and crazy at that point. And look what happened. 3 million people watched Kimbo on Bellator.
I didn't see him this week at all, but what did Front Row Brian have any words of wisdom about this?
Oh, yeah. He basically is saying the guy's legit, you know, saying, hey, don't forget, this is the dude that broke the Kimbo to Bellator news, and this is something where I would entirely see the UFC going, oh, we got nothing to say, because they want to save it for their pay-per-view or
sure.
One of their fight nights or one of their 80 other things going on.
Right. Big announcement.
Big announcement, yeah.
Ron,
see, and that's why they have to save it, because, you
big
know,
announcement.
They do stupid big announcements all the time
right.
That somebody's going to get new leggings.
Right.
So, I mean, when they actually have a big announcement, you know they're not going to just tell you in a press release. They're going to do something. They're going to get all the lasers out and the stupid smoke machines they have, and they're going to laser that shit up, and they're going to put it on Fight Pass. Can I say that? Can I say laser?
Yes, you can say laser right. As many times as you would like. Also this week, if you are looking for another podcast to consume, Ronda Rousey stopped by the Joe Rogan Experience for, I think, 2.5 hours, and it's well worth a listen. Some of the highlights that the MMA universe is glomming onto is that she would like to not fight past 30, and she's 29 in January, I believe, is when her birthday is. So time is dwindling on that, as we've been talking about. Like, we didn't expect her to stick around for much longer because there won't be much for her to do. To that end, though, she said her career still feels a little unfinished, and the cyborg thing might be the thing.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think that's the thing. I think that's also why Cyborg's got to make the weight and do this
stuff.
Well,
here's what's interesting.
Because you want another year or two out of Ronda. So if you can push Cyborg to the end of that, you're good.
Totally. In the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather sort of thing. But what I thought was interesting this week is Mighty Mouse said that he's sort of on our world, right? Thinking that Cyborg is going to look like hot garbage at 135, which is why she hasn't fought at 135. And that if this fight happens at 135, it only favors really one human being for obvious reasons. But I think it's interesting that you now have fighters saying that are active on the roster that are headlining pay-per-views.
Oh, I think you're right. Well, I mean, he's not really calling Ronda out in any way there.
Well, I think
Cyborg's not headlining any pay-per-views.
No, but I think what he's saying is what we've said, is that the logical fight to get the best fight and find out the biggest answer, it happens at a more natural weight for
See, you can say that. If you want to say that's your best quote-unquote answer, you can.
I'm not saying it's the best answer. What I'm saying is what I've said before. If Cyborg could be successful at 135 and murder people, she would be doing it already.
I agree with you. But, I mean, those are the breaks that are going to happen. And if you're successful in murdering people at 135, why would you move for somebody else? And that's what Rhonda's thinking is.
And
here.
I'm not agreeing with DJ. I'm not saying she should move. I'm just saying that it's interesting that other people are starting to get into this conversation since everyone wants to talk about it and say, hey, if she was going to be awesome at 35, she would already be at 35.
Well, we all agree that. But, I mean, the fact is she keeps saying she can do it and she still hasn't done it. I mean, she said that since she got popped for steroids in 2012. That when she comes back, she wants to fight Ronda Rousey. Well, you got popped for steroids, and you're not in the weight class. So just do it.
In that order, by the way.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm tired of her Facebook. I'm tired of her Twitter. I'm tired of her Instagrams. I just go make the weight, do a couple fights, and we can get it done. Dana would love to get this done. This is one of the most interesting things, too, is I can't remember where somebody's been calling for a fight so much. Where the UFC would like to make that fight tomorrow. You just got to make it happen.
Sure.
Like, usually you have people well out of somebody's wheelhouse trying to call out a fight. You know, every goon on Twitter is trying to call out CM Punk. You know, anytime somebody gets a belt, you got seven guys down there who say they beat one of his training partners once, you know,
right.
In New Mexico, so I should be the next challenge. I mean, you have ridiculous claims and ridiculous requests from fighters to fight another fighter. And the UFC basically has to go, yeah, go pound sand. We don't want this. UFC probably wants this more than anything, but they can't trust one of their pay-per-views on Cyborg making 135 if she's never made the weight. And they're certainly not going to go to their cash cow, which is Ronda Rousey at this point. Maybe the guy who has to set up Fedor for an audience that's actually going to consume him in the future and go, Ronda, we need you to, you know, I just want you to fight at 140. We know you did it 15 years ago, so according to the internet, that means you're totally cool with it now. So they're not going to do that. They're insane.
They're not going to do that. And to your point, the UFC cut 12 fighters this week, and two of them were for missing weight cuts. So they're getting to the point where they just have no tolerance for people who aren't going to be paying attention to what they're supposed to be doing and not doing dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or being self-aware enough to move up. You know, Dan Miller, Jim Miller's brother, was one of the cuts, and Jim Miller was asked this week about that and some other stuff. And more specifically, he had some problems with his kidneys because of all the weight cut. And he was saying that this weight cut probably cut years off of his life.
Well, you got to do it smarter, though. I mean, was he laying blame there or just
no? No.
He,
I think
it?
He was just talking about what we've been talking about, how destructive these weight cuts are. And if you're a guy who can't make whatever that weight is, and ultimately you lose to and miss weight and get fired from the UFC, you should have been self aware enough to know that you should go up 10 pounds because
yes,
you didn't win with the advantage anyway.
Right.
You lost.
Yeah, and it's a dynamic that I'm looking at with UFC, and I don't necessarily fault them for this, because a lot of people say, I can't believe they cut fighters. Well, you know what? That gives 12 other dudes in the business, in their organization, a chance to fight more times. And one of the biggest things we hear about is those guys on the lower level not having chances to make their money. I mean, boxing's the same. You know, 1% of the dudes are making 99% of the money.
The NFL is the same. The NFL, yes. You know, Major League Baseball, it's all the same.
But
guys,
at least in this, if you cut 12 fighters and you have 12 other fighters who are already in your organization that are already making weight and fighting, you know what? Those guys, instead of every 4 to 5 months, can fight every 3 months.
Sure.
And that's what you do in this business at that level. You have to fight every 90 days or
so.
Look,
I mean,
you can keep your camp rolling.
Uh-huh.
You can pay the guys that are training you. You can pay the gym fees. You can actually make a living if maybe you cut the fat, like literally and figuratively here. You're cutting guys that can't make the weight in some of these cases. You're cutting guys that maybe shouldn't be in the organization. You know, I get that you want to try to provide a lot of dudes a lot of opportunities. But I think I'd rather see in this new UFC of 57 events a year, I think I'd rather see guys that are fighting every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks if they can, they're able to do that.
And I think
obviously you don't fight hurt. Obviously you don't take a fight if you're injured. But I mean, I you hear a lot of these dudes, especially good dudes coming up. They'd love to kind of keep that pace going.
Well,
and if they get paid for that fight 4 to 5 times a
sure.
year, then they can actually make a living here.
And it would be really interesting. And I'll go about seeing if I can dig this up and turn this into something. It'd be really interesting to see in the past 24 months what that has done to Neil Magny versus the prior 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fought five times in 2014. You fought three times already in 2015. Like, what does that do, that exposure do to your brand that it didn't do 2 years ago when you were fighting the rudimentary three times a year?
Well, and that and the fact that brand aside, no matter what or where he is on the card, he gets to bring a paycheck home.
But that's what. But
and not everybody's Ronda Rousey. Not everybody's not everybody's Floyd Mayweather for sure.
But what I'm saying is that's all connected, right?
Yes.
Like Neil Magny is not a household name, but I use him because he's on like he's been on eight cards in 2 years.
Yes. And you start to see that guy, and you start to go, oh, that's that guy.
That's that. You might not even know how to say his last name, but you say, oh, that's that guy, because you're 1,000% right. There is one Ronda Rousey, and this weekend will prove there is one Ronda Rousey, because there is a guy who is the most dominant fighter in the UFC who's going to get 100,000 pay-per-view buys this weekend, and that's being generous.
And yeah, and he needs to go shake Andre Arlovsky and Frank Mir's hand at the end of the night, too.
Right.
So I guess I 12 fighters in an organization that big, it's not a big deal to me. It sucks for those dudes, but you know, maybe some of these other organizations can pick up guys too. And you know, you've got opportunities if you're out of the UFC. It's just I was surprised by this reaction, and we've done this before in the show, and I don't want to land and lay on it too much at this point. But you know, the UFC, not only are they a business, but nobody owes you anything in this life. Not a thing. And
nope.
I'm surprised by how the reaction is sometimes online when this happens. I mean, this happens in every level of business. You and I have worked with people a long time. One day we walk in, the next, they're gone.
Yep.
They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't have to make weight. They didn't miss weight. They didn't do any of that stuff. And they're just gone the next day. That's just because how things work. Yeah, it sucks sometimes. But in this case, I can't get that worked up about essentially losing one fighter every month.
Well, and Ken, to your point, that you're in control of your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
If you win and you make weight.
Make weight, then win.
If you make weight. Sorry, I'll do it in order, right? If you make weight, then you win, and you're fiscally responsible enough to keep that train rolling so the first two happen again and again and again, you get to stay with the UFC. You know, by and large, there are extenuating circumstances
right.
that happen, but by and large, if you do those three things,
yes.
make the weight, win the fight, you know, be fiscally responsible, and I'll add a fourth, make the UFC a perceived amount of money on that investment, you're in.
Right.
Right. If you lose three fights, you fail to make weight, and spent all of your money on cars, you're going to work at Burger King. That's how this is going to work out.
Right. I don't have anything else to add to that.
That's just how that's going to work out. And so my point in saying that is, unlike our industry where these people you're talking about did nothing wrong, it was somebody above them that made a wrong gamble on something in specifically that led to a bottom line being not being met, or a goal not being met, or a stock market thing not being, you know, a market benchmark not being met. Those people get whacked. They did not had nothing to do with any of those things, and it just happens. That's how the real world works.
The UFC empowers their fighters in a way that a lot of other businesses can't or won't.
Yeah, and I know people are going to hate on us and say that they don't pay them, and I understand all of those things, but there's a trade-off for everything. You can go work for a company and sit in a cubicle, and you'll have no control over what happens in that place until eventually you get whacked, or you can take a shot at this thing and figure out how to turn it into a brand. I mean, Chael Sonnen is getting a million offers an hour of things to do that have nothing to do with being in an octagon. They have to do with being out of an octagon. And he made all of that stuff happen.
For sure. I mean, again, I feel terrible for those dudes. Hopefully they can turn it around and, you know, find work elsewhere. But it's interesting. And this is always going to happen. If you're going to throw your arrows at UFC for any reason, I can give you a better list. I can give you a much better list if you want to give me some time to think about it. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right. And the last thing for this week, we've had one of the fighters that we've been begging for this to happen finally do it. Big Nog has announced he is retiring from mixed martial arts, and I could not be happier for him.
My hope is he remembers next time they ask him to fight that he's retired.
That he is retired.
I think that's why the UFC is giving him that other job, so they can just put him somewhere so he doesn't accidentally take another fight.
They said that leading into the fight in Brazil that they wanted him to be on staff, and they had a thing for him to do, and all he needed to do was switch his gloves for whatever they wear in the UFC office, which I'm doubting is a suit, but whatever.
I hope it's gloves too. I hope it's just different colors. Like office wear gloves.
Like purple office wear gloves?
Yeah, just something like that. There you go.
All right, so UFC 191, it is this weekend. You can follow along on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Just search WOW Show. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.